reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. How blessed are the poor in spirit, the reign of God is theirs. Blessed too are the sorrowing, they shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly, they shall inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall have their fill. Blessed are they who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall see God. Blessed too the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those persecuted for holiness' sake. The reign of God is theirs. It feels kind of strange that the Feast of All Saints isn't even a holy day of obligation this year, since it falls on a Saturday. Going to church 2 days in a row is dangerous. But the Lesser Feast of All Souls this year lands on a Sunday, so All Saints gets a demotion this year to optional status, while All Souls is promoted to Sunday status. Then again, the two almost seem like one feast, don't they? In fact, we get to choose the readings for All Souls Day from the abundance of options for the Mass for the Dead, and a couple of the ones I've chosen for tomorrow are also proclaimed on All Saints Day. But what precisely is the difference between the two? The magazine U.S. Catholic puts it this way: on All Saints Day, Catholics honor and pray for the intercession of canonized saints and celebrate the communion of saints, all the baptized in heaven, purgatory, and on earth. On All Souls Day, Catholics pray for those souls in purgatory, that they may be hurried along the path to heaven. I'm hoping that's not quite the official definition. I couldn't find an official definition, if there is one. The U.S. Catholic's notion of All Saints Day seems a bit broad. It includes the saints with a small s, the whole communion of saints, the living and the dead. I like the idea, but then it sort of makes All Souls Day superfluous. Or maybe it's okay if All Souls Day is just a continuation of part of All Saints Day, the part where we pray for those dead who are still on their way to heaven. On the other hand, the U.S. Catholic's broad description of All Saints is at the same time too narrow. It neglects the non-Christian saints in heaven. Surely there are at least a couple non-Christians in heaven, if they care to join such a party. Of course, we don't really know who's in heaven and who's not, who's in purgatory and who's not. We just assume some are in heaven and some are on their way. We don't know who's in heaven, but we have some ideas about the qualifications for heaven. The Church's choice of the Beatitudes as the Gospel for All Saints Day is an interesting one, isn't it? Are we being presented with qualifications for sainthood? If so, it seems as if we only have to meet one of these qualifications: poverty in spirit, sorrow, lowliness, hunger for holiness, mercy, single-heartedness, peacemaking, being persecuted for a faith. But do we really want even one of these qualities? Do you really want to be poor in spirit and admit you need God? I mean, really, practically need God? Do you want to let go of control, or really the illusion of control? Do you want to mourn for and with those who are materially poor? Do you want to go around hungering for holiness instead of recognition, appreciation, security, ice cream? Do you really want to show mercy to your enemies? Do you want to be single-hearted and pursue only one thing, God? Do you want to hassle with the hope and messiness and danger involved in making peace in your family and in the world? And come on, how many of you want to be persecuted? Many of us feel persecuted, and some of us even relish that feeling, but we're talking about really being persecuted for our faith. Who wants to be a saint now? And even if you want to, are you up to it? Who can be a saint? No one. Not without help. And that's what the Feast of All Souls is about. We're helping the dead make their way to heaven with our prayers. We're helping them prepare themselves for the Beatitude, the beatific vision of God. And many of you have some very specific people you're praying for, especially friends and family that have died this past year, maybe even people you don't know who have died from disease, famine, war, abortion, disasters, and accidents. Here's the way AmericanCatholic.org puts our need for help in becoming a saint. They say this on their Saint of the Day page for St. Simon and Jude last week. As in the case of all the apostles except for Peter, James, and John, we are faced with men who are really unknown, and we are struck by the fact that their holiness is simply taken to be a gift of Christ. He chose some unlikely people, a former zealot, a former crooked tax collector, an impetuous fisherman, two sons of thunder, and a man named Judas Iscariot. It is a reminder that we cannot receive too often. Holiness does not depend on human merit, culture, personality, effort, or achievement. It is entirely God's creation and gift. God needs no zealots to bring about the kingdom by force. Jude, like all the saints, is the saint of the impossible. Only God can create his divine life in human beings. And God wills to do so for all of us. We don't know all the rules about heaven and purgatory, but our hope is that we will arrive there someday. In heaven, that is. In the prophet Isaiah's vision, God will destroy the web that is woven all over all nations. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. Or as the first letter of John puts it, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. We know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.